This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Well, Well, Well. Tex and Jason with you this evening from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. A big thank you to the boys from the Let's Talk Footy team for another fantastic show. And Tex, it's you and I once again. How are you doing? Are you revved up for another fantastic show?
Jason, am I revved up or what? After my interesting day today, I'm very excited to be here.
What were you up to today?
I went out to the Victoria Police Academy and took part in what they call their Community Encounters Program, which is where ordinary people from the community go in and help to dispel a few myths and misunderstandings that the new police cadets and the new Protective Services Service Officer cadets may have about different sections of the community, whether it's someone who's a Muslim or someone who's gay or lesbian or transgender, someone who is a Sikh, as in Indian Sikh.
So type all
Sikh.
About diversity, I
so
guess.
All different sorts. It's about diversity and about the subtext of the program is called Don't Judge a Book by Its Cover. So you sit down at a table and four or five officers chat to you and ask you questions. You know, where you're from, where do you work, what do you do?
And I'm sure you would have had some very interesting answers to those questions.
Oh, indeed, I did, Jason. And it was really interesting to meet them. They were a great bunch of police to be and protective service officers to be. Then it's towards the first week of their training, so quite interesting.
Awesome.
But Jason, I have a question for you.
What is that question? Tex, come on, lay it on me.
What's on the show tonight?
Well, we're going to be joined momentarily by Gary Dowsett of the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe Uni to talk to us about a study looking at prostate cancer.
Oh, right, yep.
And just in a brief moment, we'll be talking about some news in the HIV prevention area.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, little snippets here and there about things happening in and around the community. But we do love to hear from the listener and hear what they want to hear on the show. How can they get a hold of us, Tex?
Look, there's an enormous variety of options. If you want to, dear listener, you could send us an email if you've got your fingers hovering over your keyboard. I love to say that. The email address onair@joy.org.au. We get that right here in the studio. And also, you could send us an SMS or a text to Tex, 0427-JOY-949. Or perhaps you may just like to like us via Facebook. So you can go to facebook.com/well-well-well-joy. Or you can also go to the Joy website, joy.org.au, and you could find our Facebook address through there as well.
Indeed. Well, this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
It's all I want to do, so won't you dance? I'm standing here with you, why won't you move? I'll get inside your groove, cause I'm on fire, 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 fire. It hurts when you get close.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was a little bit of Kylie Minogue with All the Lovers.
Nice to have a bit of Kylie every now and then.
Oh, you know, because we don't hear any Kylie on Joy, do we?
No. No. Not often. Not often.
We love our Kylie from Camberwell.
Yeah.
Now, it is that time of the show, Tex.
Yep.
Where we like to switch gears and use many other cliches and get straight into the news.
That's right.
And the headlines this week come from our fabulous website, AIDSMap.com. That's AIDSMap.com.
That's right.
And it's a story about the HIV epidemic in the Netherlands and a recent report in the online edition of AIDS, which is a scientific journal, which talks about the reasons for the ongoing increase in rates in HIV notifications among gay men. Now, you know, we've talked quite a bit about the benefits of testing an antiretroviral treatment on ongoing transmission. Because obviously if people get tested, they're aware of their status and can reduce the risk of infecting others. And antiretroviral treatment can bring down people's viral loads. Mm-hmm. And that can have an impact at the community level in terms of transmission as well. Now, the study looked at why those benefits don't seem to be having an impact on the notification rates.
And that's in the Netherlands.
In the Netherlands, correct. Yes, thank you. Now, what I found was interesting was that what their study demonstrated was the benefits of that were provided by the increase in testing and the availability of antiretroviral treatment were being offset by higher rates of risky sex, and particularly among people with undiagnosed HIV infection. So, and also, as a result, men who were HIV positive who were not on treatment.
Mm-hmm. And look, in the Netherlands, gay men continue to be the main focus of the HIV epidemic. And look, the diagnoses have increased. That's the diagnosis of people testing positive for HIV have increased in recent years. And there's some evidence that HIV incidence in gay men is also on the rise in the Netherlands. Now, they list a couple of possible causes. And you know, one of them could be the possible causes of the ongoing and possibly resurgent HIV epidemic in gay men include high rates of unprotected sex, including people who are actually unaware of their infection, so people who don't know that they're HIV positive.
And I think what's important to note here is that there's quite a bit of attention that's coming up around what they're calling biomedical prevention tools, mm-hmm. such as encouraging people to get onto treatment earlier when they're diagnosed with HIV, to bring down their viral load to undetectable, the discussions of pre-exposure prophylaxis. But it's really about identifying that these things on their own as well can't work on their own.
No.
You know, there needs to be attention that's paid into testing and making sure that people are diagnosed early on. So that's it's really about developing a combination approach to the way in which we address prevention.
And a really important part of that is testing, of course.
Exactly.
Is regular testing, depending on how often one's having sex. People mm-hmm. having sex lots of the time, as we've said on many occasions, if you're having sex lots, well, good on you. But good idea to have a test around every 3 months or so. If you're not having sex all that often, perhaps every 6 months, but everybody, irrespective of who they are, if they're having casual sex, should, and that includes heterosexual people as well as homosexual people, have a test at least once a year, because once you know, you know. And if you've picked something up, like another sexually transmitted infection like gonorrhea or syphilis, something like that, there's a treatment. Mm. And once you know, you can get the treatment. And then if you've picked up HIV or perhaps hepatitis C, well, there are treatments. There's no cure, but there are treatments.
Indeed.
So testing is a big one. And wherever you live in the world, there are testing sites available, whether it's your local GP or a sexual health clinic. Here in Melbourne, of course, the Melbourne Sexual Health Centre. And easy to look up on the internet. Just type in, just like you'd type in Victorian AIDS Council, just type in Melbourne Sexual Health Centre and you'll get the location.
Too easy. Well, this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
That you've changed at any time. It's not unusual to find that I'm in love with you. Whoa, 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 whoa.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And Tex, who was that?
Well, it's not unusual, Jason, because that was the immortal Tom Jones.
What is unusual is the fact that I played some music from the 60s. I actually borrowed one of your CDs.
It was very strange, but Jason...
Hey.
That's what I'm
You're
here
winning
for.
Me over.
Yeah.
But enough about our music. Joining Tex and I this evening on the line is Gary Dowsett of the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Hi there. Glad to be here.
Now, before we get into the nitty-gritty of what we're meant to be talking about today, I was wondering if you maybe can share with the listener a little bit about what ARCHES does.
Yeah. Well, ARCHES stands for the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society, as you said, and we've been around here in Melbourne for 20 years. This is our 20th year, and we're Australia's largest research centre on sexuality, health and on human relationships. So we do lots of different kinds of social research, survey work, in-depth interviewing work on young people, older people, queer people, people with HIV and AIDS, all sorts of different kinds of research on sexuality-related issues, hepatitis C, hepatitis B, sexually transmissible infections, you name it, all the stuff that kind of affects our lives as sexually active animals and people.
Well, Gary, that's sort of very, very a good list there. But what do you do? What do you do at the Australian Research Centre?
Well, I'm currently the acting director of the centre. So I suppose most of my job every day is signing forms and spending money.
Now, you're here to talk to us about a study. Can you tell us what that study is all about?
Yeah, we've been part of a group for a couple of years now that's been trying to get issues for gay and bisexual men on the agenda for prostate cancer. Prostate cancer is a pretty serious disease and affects a lot of Australian men, but the field itself has not been particularly open to looking at issues that might pertain particularly to gay and bisexual men. Are our experiences different? Do we need different services? So this project's looking at what gay and bisexual men might need in terms of health promotion and health education resources to help inform our communities about prostate cancer.
Now, do you want to share with the listener a little bit about what we're talking about when we're talking about prostate cancer?
Well, prostate cancer is one of the most prevalent cancers in Australia affecting men. There are about 20,000 men every year in Australia who are diagnosed new with prostate cancer. And about over 3,000 men every year in Australia die from the effects of prostate cancer, which is roughly at the same levels, if not a little more, than the way in which breast cancer affects women. But it doesn't, as a disease, doesn't anywhere near have the same priority and the same publicity as breast cancer does, I think, because women have been fantastic in getting that issue on the agenda, but men and men's health has yet to put the prostate cancer agenda on the public health awareness in the same kind of way. So it's a serious disease. It mainly affects older men, but diagnosis of this can happen to men in their 40s. And it's important that we start educating men about prostate cancer, because it is a disease captured early that can be treated. And that's really one of the most important things about it. It has compounding effects if people are HIV positive, so that's an important issue for the gay community as well. And so this project, which is conducted in association with the Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia, a sort of a national organisation in the field, is trying to assess whether gay and bisexual men have good information available to them, where they go to find it, where they look for it, can they find it. If they go to someone to ask about it, are gay and bisexual issues being taken into account?
Well, we might delve a little bit deeper into those issues. We're just going to take a short little break to listen to some music. Gary, are you happy to stick around and chat with us a little longer? This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was Michael Jackson with Beat It. And if you've just joined us, we are speaking to Gary Dowsett of the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society, also known as ARCHES, because that's a bit of a mouthful. You still there, Gary?
I'm still here.
Great.
Now, Gary, you mentioned before we listened to that gorgeous piece of music, you said that you talked about the ages of people. Now, you said it's usually older men, but it can be men from the age of 40. When you say older men, what does that mean? Is that 60, 50, 70?
Well, the majority of diagnoses are usually made for men in their 60s and heading up into their 60s, but increasingly we're getting diagnoses of earlier stage prostate cancer happening in the 50s and the 40s. And that's partly to do with a better screening test, and it's partly to do with more screening as men become more aware of prostate cancer and the possibility that screening earlier might be a useful thing. It's not clear whether national screening, like we have for breast cancer, is actually useful at this point. There's a lot of scientific debate about that. But certainly for individual men, making a decision to go to their GP and having a prostate cancer test, probably from 50 years of age onwards, possibly even earlier if there's a family history of prostate cancer or there's suspect symptoms that make someone worry, is a good thing. And because people are actually being screened or having tests a little bit earlier, we're starting to discover that prostate cancer is starting earlier in men from the 40s onwards.
I was quite interested because I was 53 before my doctor suggested that I have a prostate cancer test, and I go to a predominantly gay clinic where lots of men are going through the clinic all the time. Is that something that people report, that it's not something that their doctor brings up?
Well, I think it's not very clear at the moment from sort of our, some of our, we've got a number of research projects going on in this area, and it certainly might be the case, that gay clinics and clinics that have been much more used to sexual health screening for men, and a lot of our gay clinics are like that because of HIV, that might lead to some of those clinics putting a test for prostate cancer on the agenda a bit earlier. And we've got a little bit of evidence that that could be the case. But I think the other thing is that's happening is that there is more national awareness happening as a result of the Prostate Cancer Foundation's work, and also Movember, in its big fundraising in November, actually has prostate cancer higher on its agenda as well, not only in Australia where it started, but now internationally. So awareness is growing, and I think that's leading some men to seeking a screening test or an examination, a physical examination, and that could be part of what's leading to the earlier diagnosis.
Now, are there any particular risk factors that we know that are associated with prostate cancer?
Well, certainly part of the evidence is indicating that there now may be a genetic link. And one of the things that is being suggested by the Prostate Cancer Foundation in its materials on its website is that there is a family history of prostate cancer that should encourage people, men, to go earlier and seek a test just in case. In my own family's case, for example, three out of the six male cousins on my father's side of the family all have had prostate cancer. So there's certainly some kind of a genetic link that's available that we know about now, just as there's a genetic link in the breast cancer. No one seems to know exactly how it works, but that's one factor.
Yep.
So there's another series of research projects going on about the role of inflammation in the prostate in terms of other kinds of infections in the prostate. And there's a long history here of people working in various kinds of cancers where infections may set up inflammatory conditions, and they seem to have some kind of role in some cancers. But, you know, cancers are not a singular thing. They're very different in different places. It's just a common name for many, many different things. So it's not clear at the moment. The real issue is if there is a bit of a family history and if there are some symptoms that are worrying about the frequency with which you're peeing, getting up into the middle of the night, pain, blood in your semen, blood in your urine, those kinds of things, and you're heading up into the 40s and those are happening, it's probably time to go and have a test. If nothing much is going on for you but you're heading into the 50s, a regular checkup and including a test for your prostate in a regular checkup might not be a bad thing to do.
Well, we're just going to take a short little break and listen to a few messages. Are you happy to stick around a little bit longer?
Yeah, happily.
Great. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and it's Tex and Jason with you this evening from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Now, if you've just joined us, we are speaking to Gary Dowsett from Arches at La Trobe Uni. Gary, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Now, before the break, you were talking about the genetic link that has been kind of identified, and you identified there was a bit of a connection, I guess, to your family as well. Do you want to share with the listener a little bit about your personal connection to the issue?
Yes, well, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer myself 5 years ago, and that was a complete shock to me. I had had an elder cousin, die of prostate cancer in his 50s quite a while ago, the eldest male cousin in my family. And another cousin of mine, who's also an academic, was a little older than me, had been diagnosed a number of years ago as well. So it was a bit of a shock. My father didn't have prostate cancer, and I'm an only son, so I didn't see any link there. But in fact, my still living cousin and I are part of a genetic study that's happening at the Peter MacCallum Institute. So out of the blue, while I'd been monitoring my prostate health for 10 years, from my 40s onwards, all of a sudden the test results spiked and changed, and it was literally within a short period of a year that something changed, and a series of tests indicated that I certainly had a prostate cancer and require treatment. I'm very lucky, 5 years out, you know, I'm called cured, as they say nowadays, once you get to the five-year mark. And it certainly, when I was diagnosed, I looked around to find out what was there was for gay men in particular, to inform me about my decisions that I should make about treatment, mm-hmm. what it was going to mean for my sex life, what it was going to mean for my health for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And while a lot of the material was for men generally, nothing was out there for gay men. So one of the reasons I've started a series of research projects at Arches and with collaborators in Canada and people participating in the Prostate Cancer Foundation work that we're doing and we're talking about tonight was the realisation that there was hardly anything out there for gay and bisexual men to help us think about our health in relation to prostate cancer and also the effects of surviving prostate cancer through its treatments on our partnerships, our sex lives, our partners themselves, and how we might learn to live with it in a sense that we've learned to live with HIV in our community for the last 30 years.
Now, Gary, you mentioned that as a gay man, you were looking at how to treat prostate cancer or how prostate cancer would be treated. Are there differences between how prostate cancer affects, say, men in the gay community, gay and bisexual men perhaps, to the straight or heterosexual male community?
Hard question to answer. Certainly the one study that we've done, which is an international online survey that we did last year, it had only two findings that showed a difference for gay and bisexual men. One was that gay and bisexual men diagnosed with prostate cancer had slightly earlier cancer, according to one of the scores that's used. Excuse me. And we think that might be related to the fact that gay and bisexual men might be being screened a bit earlier as a result of more regular health checks as a result of HIV. We don't really know the answer because we didn't ask that particular kind of question. But there certainly was a significantly different result for gay men having a slightly earlier, a lower score when they presented with cancer. The second finding that we had was that gay men were much more disturbed by possible consequences to their sexual lives as a result of the treatments for prostate cancer than the non-gay men in the study. Again, we don't know the reasons for that. It may be that, as we'd all like to believe, that gay men remain more sexually active longer with more people and have more fun,
mm-hmm.
and so the consequences are more distressing as a result of any side effects that might happen as a result of prostate cancer treatment. And not every man has bad side effects. Some have few side effects. Some have worse. The treatments are not without their problems, and they're getting better all the time. But that's one thing. And the other thing that we do know from looking at the scientific reports on this is that there are some reports in various English-speaking countries that gay men find the health services that deal with prostate cancer not very attuned to our needs. People are a bit nervous about asking questions about male partners and about anal sex and about sex lives or about maybe non-monogamous relationships or casual partners, the things that we're all very used to talking about in the gay community and the things we're used to studying in relation to HIV and AIDS, because we've been researching that for a long time. But the prostate cancer field hasn't quite caught up with us.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I'm glad that you raised HIV because earlier on in our discussion you were mentioning how the issue of potentially living with HIV and also having a prostate cancer diagnosis can add a level of complexity. Do you want to kind of elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, it can be issues for men living with HIV who've been living with HIV for quite a long time and who've been on various kinds of treatment regimes can have difficulties in terms of their sexuality, in terms of getting firm erections, being able to retain those erections, difficulties perhaps in terms of treatments, producing diarrhea and problems in the rectum and things like that. So there are consequences for the side effects of HIV treatments that vary from man to man and over lengths of period of time that people have been on treatments. And they can be compounded by prostate disease of various kinds. There's other kinds of prostate problems rather than cancer. The prostate disease itself plus prostate cancer is a very specific kind of prostate disease can have a compounding effect. And if you start adding to the fact that you might be a gay man and in another relationship with a man of a reasonably similar age who might also be having prostate disease, it doubles the effect from what you're having to live with, if you like. If you sort of think about living with prostate cancer as a concept, you could in fact have two people in a relationship living with prostate disease of various stages and kinds, plus yep. HIV all at the same time.
Yep.
Now, that's a small number of people, as far as we know, but it's still something that is very important to us in the gay and bisexual community.
Exactly.
That it's not, we want taken into account.
It's not likely something that would be captured in prostate cancer support and treatment services for the heterosexual community.
That's right. And it's not that there's any kind of, in my experience in working with the Prostate Cancer Foundation and talking, and the cancer councils who are all involved in this, it's not because there's any overt discrimination going on here. Mm. It's because basically, while the largest number of people, men in Australia with prostate cancer, are heterosexual, that's where they've been putting their energy, in a sense without noticing that there was a need for something more specific.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like the, you know, assumption that everybody is heterosexual.
Yeah.
And that's where you go first. But our experience, and I might say VAC and ACON are both involved in the National Prostate Cancer Initiative for Gay and Bisexual Men that my centre helped start with the Prostate Cancer Foundation. Our experience is that the foundation's been incredibly receptive, and that's why they funded this project at Arches. Hmm.
I guess it's really coming down to developing culturally sensitive and appropriate services.
Yes, we will have a long way to go,
yeah.
and convincing the surgeons and the oncologists and everything else to take into account gay men is always a problem. I remember trying to talk to my urologist about anal sex and watching his face freeze, you know, and he's only in his 40s.
Yeah.
So we've got a long way to go, but this project is sort of is a starting point in terms of trying to think about educational materials that we might provide gay men that could be more gay-friendly.
Yeah. Now, getting back to this study that we've been kind of alluding to in some ways, what are the main objectives of the study that you're currently recruiting for?
Okay. Cancer Foundation wants to develop nationally new resources that do cater for gay and bisexual men and their health information needs in relation to prostate cancer, both men who are worried about prostate cancer and want to find out more information, but also information for men who have prostate cancer and are being treated for it in the very many, very different ways that it's being treated. So they would like some scientific evidence upon which to base the development of the materials. So they've commissioned Arches to undertake a very small project. It's a very quick and small project, both undertaken mainly in Melbourne but also in Sydney, talking to gay and bisexual men through focus groups, a number of focus groups, to see what their experience is of seeking out information, accessing it, trying to find it on the web, trying to find it from print materials, trying to find it from their doctors, from their urologists, from their oncologists, from the local cancer council, from the AIDS service organisations that they might go to. What their experience is of seeking information, how good it's been, how helpful it's been, what they would prefer to see, how they would like that information to look, and what else they would like to know. So we're running a series of focus groups in Sydney and Melbourne in the next month. It's a very quick project, and we're really looking for men in Melbourne at the moment to volunteer for those focus groups.
So, Gary, how many men are you looking for to take part in the study?
In Melbourne, we'd like 4 focus groups of about 8 men each. So that doesn't sound like a lot, but I can tell you from researching gay men in Melbourne for the last 15 years, it's often very, very hard to get gay men in Melbourne to participate in research studies, much harder here than it is in Sydney to get them to participate. So we really want some gay and bisexual men to come forward here in Melbourne. We've already had one very successful group in Sydney in the project, and a second one being set up, but we're having a bit of a hard time in Melbourne getting gay men and bisexual men to come forward for the focus group.
You know what, I reckon we just need to play up the competitive aspect between Melbourne and Sydney and say, come on, boys. Come on, lift your game.
Yeah.
Now, how can men who are interested in taking part take part?
Okay. Well, we have a telephone number at Arches, and it's 03-9285-5291.
Yep.
I'll say that again. 03-9285-5291. And that will get you through to the desk of the research fellow at Arches, David O'Keefe, who's actually doing the day-to-day work on this project with my support and assistance.
Mm-hmm.
You can also contact David on his email address, which is d.o'keefe. And the O'Keefe is an interesting spelling, O-K-E-E-F-E. So d.o'keefe, E-E-F-E, at latrobe, one word, .edu.au.
Brilliant.
But I tried the telephone number. We've got a number of men volunteering today as a result of another ring around that we did to some of the gay community agencies here in Melbourne. We're really looking for men 40 years and over, roughly speaking, who have some concerns about this. It might be because their father had prostate cancer and they're starting to worry about it.
Yep.
Or they might be having some symptoms in peeing too many times a night to come, and they're starting to look around for information. But we're also wanting to talk to gay and bisexual men who've been diagnosed and maybe are on what's called watchful waiting, mm-hmm. which means just let's wait and see how it goes for a while before we do anything. But also men who have had some treatment for prostate cancer. So we're looking for the before and the after.
Yep. It's a broad remit, really.
Exactly.
Now, we'll be sure to put those details up on our Facebook page as well for anyone who's listening. But thank you very much for joining us this evening, Gary.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you very much for talking about the issue. It's something we need to talk a lot more about in the gay community.
Indeed, and thank you for sharing your personal experience. I think that makes it all the more real for everyone listening.
Yeah, well, it happens to everyone.
Well, thank you very much. Have a great night.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we've got a... Lily Allen coming up next with The Fear.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9 and Jason.
What's that, Tex?
Who on earth was that?
That was Lily Allen with The Fear.
Oh, you did pre-announce that, didn't you?
I did.
Lily Allen.
If only you were paying attention.
I was all ready to get ready to read this out, Jason.
What's that? Tell me. Tell
well,
me.
Well, this is the Freedom Dental Competition, which goes from the 13th to the 19th of August, so you've only got a couple of days to get onto it.
Mm-hmm.
Joy 94.9 and Freedom Dental want to know what makes you smile and, importantly, Jason, to get your smile ready for summer.
Now, are we talking about just what makes you smile in general? Because I know what makes me smile. The fact that I'm about to go on leave tomorrow. For 3 weeks.
Thank you.
Hey, but it's actually got you smiling as well. I don't know how that works, but
that's
hey.
Got me smiling.
I'm glad that me going away is making you smile. I don't know what that's about, but anyhow, what is this all about?
Well, Freedom Dental aims to bridge the gap between dentistry, artistry, and hospitality. So you can experience six-star service. I'd never heard of six-star service. Six-star service like never before.
Now, it's always important because I'm not a huge fan of going to the dentist, so that sounds pretty appealing.
Right. Well, this is so you can get your smile ready for summer at Freedom Dental. Now, it's really simple. You can win a competition, Jason.
How? Tell me how.
If you want to win a Clean and Zoom whitening package, now a Clean and Zoom whitening package valued at $1,500.
Not cheap, that's pretty valuable.
Including a full examination and clean, all you need to do, now look, this is really simple. All you need to do, dear listener, is to tell us which presenter, i.e. Tex McKenzie, which program, and what else on Joy makes you smile?
Adam.
Indeed.
Sorted.
So sorted. There
Jason,
you go.
Jason, Tex, well, well, Adam. Done.
There you go.
There's your response.
There's your response.
Too easy.
So you can click on the Freedom Dental banner on the Joy website now. Now, don't wait because, as I said, the competition does end on the 19th of August.
That's
and today
this Sunday.
Is the 16th. So get a move on. The competition is open to all Joy 94.9 listeners. So that means you don't have to be a member. However, if you are a member, you'll be in the bonus draw to win a take-home Zoom 3 whitening kit valued at $500.
It's pretty impressive, though, because it's rare that there's a competition opportunity for non-members.
That's right. But so anyone can go into the main prize, which is the $1,500 Clean and Zoom whitening package. But then if you're a Joy member, and we always say it's worth your while to be a Joy member, you're helping the community, you're helping Joy, but you're also getting a chance to win fantastic prizes. You get to go into that bonus draw to take home a take-home Zoom 3 whitening kit valued at $500. Now, you, Jason, if I didn't have plastic teeth, I'd be in on this one. But you and the listener in general will have that winning smile ready for summer thanks to Freedom Dental. Now, my recommendation, and I'm sure Jason's recommendation to you, is to head to the website now.
Indeed.
Joy, joy.org.au.
What's so that website again?
Head to joy.org.au now.
Well, isn't that pretty exciting?
It is exciting, actually.
I'm smiling already.
So really, all you have to do is say who your favourite presenter is. And okay, it may not be Jason and myself or Adam, who normally, you know, is part of the gang.
It might be the boys from Let's Talk Footy.
It could be the boys from Let's Talk Footy. That is such a good show. Or it could be Dean and Andrew from...
You're shocking. What's it called?
Their show, I used to call it Down
Peek-a-boo?
And Dirty, but
Peek-a-boo?
It's called... Oh, that's it. Hide and Seek.
Ah, there you go.
That's right. So, yeah, just that. Which program you like and what else on Joy makes you smile?
And do so quickly. Quickly. Yes. But it is that time of the show where we like to talk about things happening in and around the community very quickly that... can help you stay happy and healthy. And now we've talked about the Inside Out group, which is a therapeutic group run out of the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre for gay and bisexual men who are struggling with negative body image. Mm-hmm. Now that group is kicking off shortly, so if you want to get involved or want more information, go to vicaids.asn.au. But that's not the only therapeutic group that's being run out of the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre that is currently recruiting. There's another one. That's a brand new group that's just been developed, and it's called Fearless.
Oh, this is the Fearless group.
I don't know. Yep. Is it Fearless or is it Fearless? Who knows?
I think it's Fearless group, because that's why it's written.
Now, this one's all about, you know, the difficulties that come along with growing up in a culture which can at times be quite disapproving or hostile towards us. Now, do you feel like you might have internalized some of those negative feelings of homophobia? And has homophobia possibly had a negative impact on your well-being? Well, this group is looking to explore all of those issues and how to develop some skills to deal with them. It's looking at running in sometime in October. If you want more information on that, please ring the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre at 9865-6700. But it sounds like a fantastic group, and I think it's important to recognize that a lot of those little things that happen throughout our journey as members of the queer community can have an impact on our well-being, and that it's really about kind of talking about them and developing some skills to deal with it.
That's right.
So that's the Fearless group.
That's right. So 9865-6700, and please note the places are limited, so get on the phone tomorrow from 9 o'clock.
Now, Tex...
Don't tell me. We haven't reached that time.
And I'm smiling.
You're smiling because you're about to go on leave. Coming up next, I'm smiling because coming up next is Hide and Seek with Dean and Andrew. Anyone you want to say hello to? Perhaps the gorgeous Gary?
Perhaps the gorgeous Gary, Justin, who is catching up with Gary this evening. And a big thank you to Gary Dowsett for sharing his story and coming on to have a chat with us this evening.
About prostate cancer, remember you can go to our website page, our Facebook page rather, facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy. And we've got some information about that prostate cancer group. And stop waving your hand around, Jason. I know it's time to go. I'd like to say a quick hello to Harry, Warren in Cairns, Wayne in Nimbin, Deb in Reservoir, and to you, our listener. What are we going out with?
We're going out with a little bit of Pink.
Pink.
All with right. Funhouse.
Adam and I will be here next week with another great show from 8 o'clock. Cheers, everyone. Keep your dial locked on Joy 94.9. Cheerio. Bye-bye.
Good night.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.